Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good Sunday morning to you from News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm Blois Olson, and this is the Sunday Take for December 5th, 2021. This past week, the Kim Potter trial started, and jury selection concluded on Friday. The trial will be in full swing this following week. The legislature continues to not make any progress, and Congress made a deal so that we don't have a government shutdown. Guest this week, first, Mayor Mike Elliott from Brooklyn Center. They're trying to figure out how to fund public safety and alternative responses to police for mental health and welfare checks and traffic stops. The other guest, Matt Burke, former Viking, very involved in Scott Jensen's gubernatorial campaign. Why does he care so much about politics and where does his drive come from? I'm Blois Olson. It's 9 o'clock on Sunday, and this is the Sunday Take.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm your host, Blois Olson. Joining me for the first cup of coffee this Sunday is Mayor Mike Elliott, Mayor of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Obviously, Brooklyn Center's had a lot of spotlight in the last year due to the killing of Dante Wright. And now this week, the beginning of the Potter trial, Officer Kim Potter, related to that Dante Wright shooting. And so I thought it'd be a good time to check in with the mayor. Mayor, thanks for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
So let's just kind of start out with the mood of the community. Obviously, there's been a lot of attention on Brooklyn Center this year, a lot of attention on you, the city council, policing. Where do you guys feel now in the, you know, at the beginning of the Potter trial? How does the community feel? What's the mood of the community? What's your sense of what people are feeling, you know, as this kind of becomes another another story nationally?
Well, I think Katie Wright, Dante Wright's mom, said it at our meeting on Monday of this week. She said that being watching this trial is going to be like reliving the shooting death of her son all over again. And, you know, I think people in our community are feeling much the same way. This has been a very difficult year for Brooklyn Center, for our community. And in many ways, people are starting to relive what happened in April. So there's a sense that people are both looking to the trial for a sense of relief, for a sense of fairness and equity in the court system and through the trial. And I think that will have an impact on how the community feels and how the community is able to move forward and heal.
Alongside the healing, the trial, the news coverage, and the city council led by you is working on a reform plan for policing. Where does that stand? I know that this past week you were not able to kind of come to agreement, that it's been postponed. Can you kind of describe what you're trying to accomplish with the reform plan and where you think the city council will land?
Yes, it's incredibly important work that we are engaged in, all of us collectively as a city council. So we've gotten the advice of experts who have been in law enforcement for decades, including former chiefs, former lieutenants, and the model that they have recommended so far that we're working on is one that looks at our 911 call data, categorizes it, and starts to ask the question, do we have all the types of responses that we need when someone dials 911? For instance, the analysis of this 911 call data shows in Brooklyn Center, 22% of the calls that come in are crime-related. The remainder, nearly 80%, are not crime-related. They are calls that have to do with medical, mental health, or general call for help. You know, someone calling and saying, hey, haven't heard from my mom in a couple of days. Will you send someone to go and check on her? That isn't necessarily a criminal-related call. And so what the analysis shows is that police are incredibly important to responding to these types of calls that have to do with crime, but yet they are overburdened, right? So we get 38,000 calls per year. And on average right now, police officers in Brooklyn Center are responding to roughly 700 calls per year. So the model that we're looking at deploys two additional teams. One is a social worker, mental health worker, paramedic, community response team that can respond to a number of these types of calls that the police don't and won't have to go to. And then the other is a civilian traffic team that's going to focus on parking calls. You know, somebody gets into a fender bender and it's not a law enforcement issue. Those types of calls they can respond to. The net result is the number of calls per officer will probably go down from 700 a year to somewhere around 500 a year, which means now the police will have more time to investigate crime, to really respond to burglaries and things that they really need to focus on. So that's the model that we're putting together. And incidentally, in order for us to have a police response, our analysis shows it's roughly $274 per call for police response. For the community response team and for the civilian traffic enforcement teams to respond to the calls that they're going to respond to, that cost is roughly $70 per call. And so there's a huge savings also that we will be able to see, and that should translate directly to taxpayers seeing a relief in their taxes. So we think that this is a good, really good strategy. It's going to make sure that when people dial 911, A, they have a variety of responses available that dispatch is going to be able to figure out who's the best person to go. B, it's going to save taxpayers money, and C, it's going to relieve pressure off of the police department so that they can respond to the calls that they need to. So that's the plan, that the model that we're working on, that we've also seen implemented in other parts of the country. We think that it's going to be quite effective.
One of the things that many cities are dealing with right now is a shortage of officers and kind of recruiting and retaining officers. Where do you think Brooklyn Center's at in that discussion as you kind of begin to also have to recruit for maybe these other services as part of the police department?
So this is an important question. And there are a number of social workers that are available for hire, right? That we can hire on these teams and paramedics. There is a shortage of police officers, which I think also underscores the need for us to move ahead and implement this, because the calls are still going to be coming in. And, you know, police officers all across the country, A, are retiring, leaving the force, B, going into different professions. It's difficult. You know, all around the country, police departments are struggling to hire folks. And Brooklyn Center is no different. But that is something that we as a city are working to recruit officers. We're working to particularly recruit officers that have considerable amount of experience that can come in and, you know, don't need to have a whole lot of training in order to get going. So that's something that we're working on.
One of the, my guest is Mayor Mike Elliott. He's the mayor of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. You know, I think everyone in city government and state government, and especially here in Minnesota, is having this discussion. We had it in Minneapolis. There was a question on the ballot in Minneapolis against the backdrop of obviously higher crime rates. Brooklyn Center had higher crime rates before. Is there any concern about, if you look at, you know, are there any data that the capacity increase for law enforcement to deal with crime will match or start to pick up the opportunity to respond or deter crime going forward? Because my sense has been, it's the talk about change is natural and needed and there, but doing it against the backdrop of these major crime increases or violent crime that invokes such fear in people is the, what are we changing to? And I don't, you know, I have some fears now. Maybe I fear the unknown. And so I think trying to figure out how, because, you know, critics will say, look, you have high crime rates, you're going to reduce police. It's that simple. It'll show up on a great direct mail piece in an election. But what's the capacity of those police officers to go deal with crime or prevent crime? Or how do we figure that out as part of this? Because I think that's one of the issues that wasn't well defined in Minneapolis.
This is an incredibly important question. I'm glad you're asking it. It's complex, right? The answer. Often I ask folks, I say, you know, how do we prevent crime? And seldom is the answer, let's put a police officer in every corner. First of all, that's not feasible, but that's almost what it would take if we only relied on our police officers to prevent crime, right? And we know that the majority of the time, our police officers are responding to crime that's already taken place and not necessarily preventing it. And so they do some of that work through investigations, right?
Yeah.
But when I ask folks, you know, how do we prevent crime? A lot of times what I hear is people saying, we need to make sure that people have access to a home and that they have access to a good paying job. They can take care of their family, can afford to feed themselves. They, you know, get a good education, that type of thing. And I think that we can all agree that communities and societies that have people's basic needs met are ones where people are less likely than to engage in criminal activity. And so part of the strategy here is not only investing in police, but investing in the social workers that we're investing in. One of the things that social workers do best is connecting people to resources, county resources, other medical resources, housing resources, childcare services, these types of support, community support services that takes the pressure off people and has been shown through research to actually decrease crime. So really what we're putting together is a model that takes the pressure off the police because they'll have fewer calls to respond to, the kind that they don't, police chiefs all across the country now are saying what they've been saying for years is, they're not mental health professionals. They're not trained social workers. Yep. They don't want to be going to those calls. So we're taking the pressure off by allowing these teams to go to those calls. And when those teams go, find out who the people are, right, that are in dire conditions, right, that we know can lead to crime. Find out who the people are. Provide them with the resources. Work with them over time. And in doing that, I think that that truly is how we reduce crime in a real way, as opposed to, you know, through arresting people and locking them up.
As we wrap up here, Mayor Mike Elliott's my guest here on News Talk 830 WCCO Sunday Take. I'm Blois Olson. Mayor, I think obviously we're just ending jury selection this past week. We'll start the trial. Have you talked to Officer Potter? Have you talked to others about this honest mistake could lead to, acquittal? Or do you have an opinion on kind of what the punishment should be, should Officer Potter be found guilty?
Well, this is a question that everybody's grappling with. I thankfully am not part of the judicial system, so it's not something I have to have any hand in deciding. But I do think that Officer Potter deserves a fair trial. And I think that the community, I think that Dante's family deserve to see a fair trial also. And, it's important that we allow the judicial process to take place. And I'm very happy that the trial is streaming. I think it provides a sense of transparency that is much needed. And in the end, I just hope that whatever the verdict is, that people agree that it is a fair verdict.
Last question. I think you would be up for re-election in 2022. Do you plan to run for re-election? And how quickly do you think you'll make that decision, or where you'll kind of land on if this current reform package is enough for the city?
Certainly. So re-election is something that we're actively looking at, and I'll be making an announcement soon. Obviously, this has been a wild 3 years so far in my first term with a pandemic and a uprising to live through, you know, as a first term mayor. So there's some consideration there with my family as well to make that decision. In terms of the reform package, I think that we are well on our way. I'll tell you what, we had a meeting last night in the city council discussed a pathway. Right now, we have a tentative agreement where we will be allocating roughly $1,044,000 to this work. So we'll fully fund the civilian traffic team and also the community response teams.
Okay. Awesome. Mayor Mike Elliott, thanks for joining me here on Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson. When we come back, former Viking Matt Burke, why he cares about politics and why he's entered the ring on News Talk 830 WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson, your host here on WCCO. Joining me for the second cup of coffee this Sunday morning is Matt Burke. He's a former Viking, former professional football player, and he's kind of put his foot in, or 2 feet into, the ring of politics by supporting Scott Jensen and letting his kind of personal views be known. Matt, thanks for joining me this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be with you.
So just let's go back through. Everybody knows you played football, but at what point in your life did politics or the interest in current affairs kind of spark your, curiosity or your study or your interest?
Well, I don't know if that's an easy answer or if there's a definitive point, but back when I played football, I wrote an op-ed in for the Baltimore Sun and for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. I guess it was 8 years ago when they were trying to amend definition of marriage. When I won the Super Bowl with the Ravens, I was the only player to decline a visit to the White House based on President Obama's support of Planned Parenthood and abortion. So, are those things political? I don't know. I think in today's world, they're looked at as being political, but those are things, those are issues. To me, those are things about right and wrong. And so I don't know where it melds into politics.
Yep.
But, just, I guess being out there and making my views known is not necessarily something new to me. And it just seems like how everything is, you know, the last few years gotten ramped up in the political sphere. Yeah, I guess now, you know, found myself a little bit more involved in that world, but I think that that world is a lot bigger. And, you know, went to a rally for Donald Trump and said the prayer before the rally. And now I'm honorary co-chair of Scott Jensen's campaign. So I don't know, somewhere in there.
Well, and I ask because, you know, I mean, you know, I realized as a young kid delivering newspapers that I read the newspaper while I delivered them. And then I got to social studies class and knew more than most of the kids because I read the newspaper. And it was at my family table. What were these things talked about at your, you know, at the table through your education? And obviously it takes an extra step to write an op-ed. And so is it like you felt a fire inside you that I need to say what I think on this?
Great question. So just for the record, I delivered newspapers as well, Bloy, and I'm old enough back. There was two editions. There was the morning
me too.
And the afternoon. And my kids, you know, they don't even know what a newspaper is. I used to, we have to deliver twice a day, which is incredible. No, it wasn't, it wasn't really like that. I think, you know, all of this is just kind of stems from, you know, the way that I was brought up and, brought up in the church and as a lot of people are. And you know, I think that you're supposed to stand up for what you think is right. And you're supposed to help out. You're supposed to be additive to your community and make it a better place and all those things. And there's a myriad of ways to do that, but we didn't sit around and talk politics or watch. I mean, but we were watching, come on. I had two brothers on Sunday mornings. We were watching football. We weren't watching the news shows. that's how we grew up.
No, that's good.
But like I said, you know, now politics is just politics in air quotes. It's just so much bigger now and it just seems to touch everything. So, I guess just by default, you know, all of us are a little bit more involved in politics than maybe we used to be.
No, that makes sense. So one point of clarification, since you grew up in St. Paul, the Pioneer Press and the Dispatch, right? Mornings and afternoons.
And Dispatch. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Me
39183. That was my route.
Wow. That's pretty good. I don't remember my route number, but I delivered it in Shoreview before and after school. So I have a whole theory on paper boys and paper girls that it created a work ethic that our kids could benefit from, but we'll save that for another day.
Okay. Third cup of coffee. Yeah.
There you go. As you've entered the world, I'm just going to start with Twitter because that seems easy and fun. And, you know, I think, you know, I've gone through your timeline, just kind of getting ready for today. How do you view Twitter? And is your sarcasm or your, some people would call it trolling, but your humor or your poking there, is that kind of an extension of kind of the crap people would give each other in locker rooms too?
I had a football coach, Steve Loney, offensive line coach with the Vikings. And yeah, I am a sarcastic person by nature. And the locker room is a very aggressive, sarcastic place. So you develop certain survival skills. And he used to always say, because yeah, football players, all we do is make fun of each other.
Right.
And we don't beat around the bush. We go right for the throat. And he used to always say, Matthew, sarcasm is the lowest form of humor. And I'd say, yeah, but coach, I'm just so good at it. So you asked me about, you know, how do I view Twitter? Yeah, Twitter's supposed to be fun. It's snarky, you know, by design, right? You can only have 240 characters. So it's not a place for in-depth discussions or whatever. Is it good? Probably not. I don't think we can look back and say, you know, social media has left a positive mark on the world, but it's certainly, I guess I'd like to think that I don't take Twitter too seriously and don't, you know, like I said, I don't use it to have thoughtful, deep, constructive dialogue.
Got it. No, I joke about those locker room days or that kind of thing and how some of the speed of my comebacks in politics or radio or whatever were formed in athletics.
100%. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, it's it's pretty raw in there. And I'd like to say this too. I think this is really applicable. And this, I think, relates to kind of what we're talking about here is, you know, in an NFL locker room, you got 53 guys, black, brown, white, you know, gay, straight, Jews, Christians. I mean, whatever, you got them all. And it's 53 alpha males, you know, it's guys who are used to being the guy. And now you show up to an NFL team and most guys have a role lesser than what they want. And you got to get all 53 guys to buy in and let them do things that they don't want to do in order to accomplish a goal. And people always ask me, you know, how do you do that? Like, how does that work? And I say, we never had one sensitivity training class in the NFL when I was there. We never had any quote team building exercises. We just show up and we go. And it's part of it is just how we're raised as football players. You know, you're kind of like, you learn at a young age, it's not about you, it's about the team. And of course you don't love everybody on your team, but you got to get along with them. And I mean, from like when I talked about writing the op-ed on the marriage amendment, I had a teammate with Baltimore who was on the other side, who was very outspoken. And I went to him and I said, hey, look, you and I see this issue opposite. I'm letting you know out of respect to you. There's an op-ed coming out tomorrow that I wrote. I respect the heck out of you. You respect the heck out of me. That's it, you know, and people would try to thrash me and he would stand up for me on social media. I say this is with all the, with everything that's going on in the world, everybody yelling and screaming at each other. I think you can actually learn a lot from football players on how to, put your personal beliefs and differences aside and work towards the common good.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that athletics teaches people, no matter what, especially team athletics. And those kind of issues that you resolve, cause it's for the team and you all have a role in and like you said, we just showed up and we went. And, you know, I've noticed through my kids, especially cause I didn't have as much self-awareness to see it for me was, you know, there is literally always the next, if you want to go to the next level, it's fewer people, but it's more people that are more driven and more competitive and more focused. And that makes you better because, you know, the competition is good. So let's pivot to politics. And, you know, so you've raised the marriage amendment, gay marriage, Planned Parenthood. Was it those social issues that kind of drove you to speak out, or are there economic issues that you've come to think about now that you've been retired, and why Donald Trump at that time, did you feel compelled?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I was playing football, right, it was just kind of all about me. So it was social.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. But you know, so you retire you know, right now my family, we live in Minnesota. We've lived in Minnesota the last 5 years. And so you say, okay, well, I want to be a positive. I mean, as a football player, you've got this platform. You'd like to think you go out and do some good. I think as private citizens, you should try to do the same thing. So I guess I just kind of look at what's happened in Minnesota the last few years. And, you know, it's been a tough couple years for a lot of obvious reasons, but, you know, it's a place where I grew up and that I love. And, you know, I see some concerning trends as far as, you know, our education, as far as our public health and safety. You know, those were things that I think when I grew up here, and those were things that Minnesota could point to and say, hey, like we're really good at these things. And for whatever reason, we don't seem to be very good at them anymore. And, you know, is it all one politician's fault? No. You know, I feel like, you know, I like to weigh in and try to offer solutions, and we don't need to go into depth as to other things I'm working on. But as it relates to certain politicians, you know, I mean, I have conservative values. Donald Trump, who was the president of the United States at the time, reached out and asked if I would say a prayer before one of his campaign rallies here. I pride myself on being a Christian. And I thought that was a great honor. And then as we get to governor race here in Minnesota, I think at the end of the day, and this is not a new fresh take. Part of the problems with politics are politicians, right? Career politicians. And the reason why my wife and I decided to support Scott Jensen in a public way was because Scott is a good, decent Christian man, because Scott is not a politician. He's doing it what I believe are for the right reasons, because he sees himself as this is a chance for him to serve. And I actually think he can win. You know, I'm not into losing. I don't try to lose. So, you know, I think it's really hard just because in Minnesota for a traditional Republican establishment politician to win. I think the recent and not so recent history bears that out. So I think Scott has a real chance. And I love what he's doing.
My guest is Matt Burke here on Sunday Take. We're talking about why and how he got motivated to kind of step into the political arena. Matt, you raised education. I know you're involved with a school. You said, you know, we used to be really good at it. Are there two or three or four things that you think we need to do differently for education here in Minnesota in the near term?
Yeah, I'm not just Minnesota. I think the whole model, you know, back when I was in school, when you were in school, I don't know, I would assume you were pretty good at memorizing and regurgitating facts.
Yeah.
So was I, right? So I was built for the system. School was never difficult for me. And that, you know, that was a great skill to have back in the 80s and 90s, because if you didn't know something, it took a lot of work to go find the answer, right? Yeah. You had to go to the library and you had to figure out this Dewey Decimal System that never made any sense and go find the book. Well, you know what? Now everybody's got supercomputers in their pocket. So memorization, regurgitation of facts is really not that useful of a skill. Yet, I think that our education system is heavily predicated and rewards that. So that would be, you know, that'd be number one. Just the way that we educate kids and what we're trying to measure is, I think, pretty antiquated. And then, you know, just number two, let's look at our kids these days. Students now, they don't know what life is like without an iPhone.
Right.
I say, you know, kids are stressed, depressed, exam obsessed, and social media possessed. We have to understand that the kids we're getting, you know, kids are different these days. I know that's not news, but we really have to focus on mental health. I think we need to actively teach, you know, social skills, communication skills, relationships, those types of things in school, because you and I figured that out. You know, we just naturally developed that when we were delivering newspapers and hanging out in the neighborhood. But kids, they don't live like that anymore. They're digital creatures. And then I think third, you know, just high level is we need to get rid of this idea that every kid should go to college. Every kid should not go to college. College is not for everybody. If they want to go to college, every opportunity should be there. But I sort of feel like there's a way that we make kids feel like if they don't go to college, it's somehow they're a failure. And that's not true. And yeah. And let me say this, I think the whole college system is ripe for an upheaval too, which we can get into another time.
That's the fifth cup of coffee, Matt.
Yeah.
Or we might move to something stronger. Back to kind of education, then, you know, Scott Jensen. So, you know, one of the observations I've had with former Senator Jensen is, you know, I give him credit because he has a fresh look at issues when people raise them. And when he was in the legislature, two of those were guns and legalizing cannabis or marijuana. And obviously he kind of did what he wanted to do on those. And then now, you know, those are quote controversial in the Republican Party or however you want to categorize it. When you start to see those issues, we'll take legalizing marijuana as one of those. You know, it's very popular when you poll it, but, you know, and other states have done it, but it's, you know, we're still kind of conservative and Scandinavian here in Minnesota. And we're not sure we still, you know, it took us a long time to even sell beer on Sunday. Any thoughts on those bigger issues that become more populist when you're either thinking about Scott Jensen being governor or you're out with him and you hear from people? How would you categorize those issues for Matt Burke and how it plays into the big picture?
I would say those are two issues that aren't that important to me personally. Okay. So, you know, I'm not a gun owner, although I do definitely support gun ownership. And, you know, cannabis, it's funny. I mean, you know, you look at kind of the evolution of that, you know, being a and all of us, we're products of our own experiences.
Yeah.
You know, playing in the NFL, I know tons of players that I played with, you know, guys who I love, guys who have physically, once their careers have ended, have gone through hell.
Yep.
And a lot of them would swear by cannabis as a means for them, helping them sort of get their lives back.
Yep.
And so, I mean, yeah, I know that. I've seen that. I've felt that with these guys. But at the same time, I would tell you, I don't think legalization of marijuana is a good thing. So it's complicated. But at the end of the day, those two things aren't necessarily that important to me personally. But one thing is, I like what you said there, boy, which I think we need to get back to as well, is, you know, you said Scott's different, fresh perspective, might not toe the company line or the party line when it comes to certain issues in the Republican Party. Well, good, right? Because right now it's so much, and I think this is where frustration comes from a lot of people like me who aren't in the game, but just out there, is why, if I say that I'm a Republican, why do I have to believe these 50 things? You know, I mean, why can't I believe these 35 things, but 15 I can feel another way about? Why do I have to be all or nothing? And I feel like sometimes that's sort of how that's the corner that I feel like a lot of people are just getting pushed into, versus like, let's just have dialogue and let's settle down and, you know, maybe like let's all try to learn a little bit from Joe Manchin, you know, and realize that you don't always have to toe the party line and stick a flag in the ground and be willing to die on every hill just to appease your party.
As we wrap up here, how close have you come to putting your name on the ballot? And B, is that off the table?
It's off the table now, just because I thought about it a little bit, but realized, yeah, I'm probably not, right now is not the right time for me. I'm probably not the right guy. I have 8 kids, 7 of them are still under my roof. So, and a lot of other things going on. And so it just wasn't right. You know, I don't like to plan too much. I don't like to rule anything out. You know, my life hasn't gone according to plan, thank God. So I kind of stay open and, you know, just kind of available to whatever. And we'll see. But I was just I was really happy when it was just by chance I bumped into Scott on an airplane. And my wife was a big Scott Jensen fan.
Yeah.
And she said, Scott Jensen's on this plane. And I talked to him and I asked him if he was going to run. And he said, yeah. He said, are you? And I said, no, but I'm glad you are, because I'll support you. Because for the reasons I stated earlier, I think he's a great candidate and would be a great governor for Minnesota.
Well, for a football player, from a political tactical standpoint, you're a pretty good surrogate in this interview, bringing it all back to Scott. Matt, thanks for joining the Sunday Take. And we'll stay in touch down the line. And just remember that I think that the business lessons and the life lessons of delivering newspapers is at least one thing we share in common. So
I think we should start a club for like paper boys and paper girl alumni.
Yep.
I mean, I think it'd be a pretty powerful group.
It probably would. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Blaise Olson. We'll talk next on Sunday Take.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.